You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
Morena, Nicola. How are you this morning?
Morena. I'm very well, thank you.
That's good to hear. It's been a busy old week in politics. Let's start with the government's budget announcement. Your party has called it a blowout budget. You've also criticised the removal of the $5 co-payment for prescriptions, which has been quite a widely accepted positive move from the public perspective, at least. Are you concerned that you're perhaps aligning yourself away from a working class or a low income voter or demographic with that type of conversation?
Oh, look, quite the opposite, because our message is that we do want to see the removal of prescription fees for lower income people, including super annuitants, including families and individuals on low incomes. And that's the way we would like to see that support targeted. What we've said is that we're concerned that a universal approach in which even the wealthiest New Zealanders have those fees removed isn't necessarily the best use of health dollars. But you mentioned the blowout in the budget overall. And what's really important is that we get a lid on the cost of living crisis. That is what is eating up the incomes of working New Zealanders. And so we're concerned that this budget adds a huge amount to government spending. And by the analysis of the government's own advisers, that will put pressure not only on inflation, but also on the interest rates that people pay.
Okay, but
so where specifically
in the budget are you concerned about this? Because from other perspectives, it looks like quite an austere budget where they're plugging very specific gaps.
80% of the budget goes towards funding what are called capacity pressures and government agencies. Now, in some cases, that may be perfectly justified, where that's for health or education services. I think New Zealanders would agree with it. But what we're concerned to see is a lot of money being put into backroom functions of government who aren't tightening their belts, even while New Zealanders are. And we'd like to see less money going into corporate welfare, less money going into growing the bureaucracy,
okay,
and more money being left with New Zealanders.
Let's return to the first point then about prescription fees. Universalism, that makes one and done type of a conversation. When you start to have picking and choosing who these things are going for, isn't that not creating a little bit more of that backroom bureaucracy that you're so concerned about?
No, there are existing mechanisms. We already have the community services card system and the super gold card system, which we're confident pharmacists could work with.
What would be your priorities? If this was your budget this year, what would have been National's priorities?
Our priority would have been to get a plan to grow the economy out of its fragile state, to bring some discipline to government spending and relieve pressure on inflation and interest rates, and to let New Zealand workers keep more of what they earn with a plan to reduce the tax they pay.
Now, the tax conversation, we've talked about this a lot, but Kantar polls are consistently showing that cutting the top tax rate is very unpopular with New Zealanders. We've also seen this morning that the Council of Trade Unions is arguing that this would be very expensive to achieve, potentially a $1.5 billion fiscal hole. They're asking for you to account for this. Have you had a conversation about this yet?
Well, taking each of those points in turn. First, it is not our policy to remove the top tax rate at this time. We simply don't think that's affordable or a priority right now. Our focus is on middle and lower income New Zealanders. That's who our tax plan delivers for. On the second point, the point that the union leader, Grant Robertson's former advisor, has made this morning is that inflation has pushed New Zealanders into higher tax brackets at such a clip that the tax take has grown extraordinarily. Now, to put our tax plan into proportion, it accounts for less than 2% of the overall tax take. To give you a sense of things, tax takes up $43 billion. Our tax plan costs about just over $1.8 billion. So it's a tiny fraction of the increased tax take. But it is a very important message that it sends, which is that we don't think the government should let inflation hit everyone twice, once with higher prices and twice by paying them more tax. We've got to bring some fairness back, and we think it's time that New Zealand workers kept a little bit more of what they earn.
All right, well, let's move on and talk a little bit about a major announcement from the government this week around an emissions reduction project in partnership with New Zealand Steel. Now, National has said that businesses should act for themselves. we haven't seen businesses doing that, particularly when it comes to the steel industry. So government has done something significant here to reduce industrial carbon production. What would National do to get the same type of emissions reduction in the same time frame?
Well, I want to see these sorts of projects happening. It's great to see people moving away from coal. But if we think we're going to wait for every company that's currently using coal to get a cheque from the New Zealand taxpayer to convert away from it, we'll go bankrupt as a country. That is simply not the way to get emission reduction. I want companies paying for that themselves, which is why I believe the emissions trading scheme, making it costly for companies to pollute, is the right way to get emission reduction. Let's remember, New Zealand Steel is owned by an Australian company called Blue Scope Steel. They made more than $2 billion worth of profits last year. So you have to ask yourself, do they really need a $140 million check from the taxpayers? And if the government thinks they need it, then how many other companies are going to sit back and wait before taking climate action?
Well, Nicola, they're already sitting back. They're already sitting back. We've got their heels bloody up. It's not really moving at any great rate at the moment. So seeing some action seems to be a positive thing.
Well,
with emissions just coming back.
My message to those companies who, in your words, have their heels up is this. A national government is committed to emission reduction. We will expect you to reduce your emissions, and if you don't, you will be paying a very high price for it.
Now, speaking of emissions reductions, climate scientists globally and in Aotearoa are arguing it's a very important tool, but it should not be our only tool in dealing with issues like we've just been discussing here, major businesses not pulling their weight. What other levers would the National Party be looking at pulling to ensure that we are meeting our climate targets in Aotearoa?
Well, one of the really important things is that we vastly increase the generation of renewable electricity so that firms that currently use fossil fuels to generate energy can instead switch to renewable electricity. So we've put forward our Electrify NZ plan, which will slash the red tape that currently stops electricity firms from building wind farms and solar farms. It can take more than 8 years to get permission to build a wind farm in New Zealand. That is ridiculous. We want to limit that to a year at the longest, and we think that will make a big difference because energy companies have the funds to invest in these projects. They're being caught up in the red tape. We're going to slash it so we can electrify New Zealand and make sure we've got more abundant, affordable, renewable energy for all electricity users.
How about raising the carbon emission price? Is that something that National would look at as well?
Yes. We are concerned that the current government has undermined the effectiveness of the emissions trading scheme. And we are looking at how we can bolster that scheme and make it more effective. It is the most effective way for sending a clear price signal to fossil fuel users that is no longer sustainable and they need to phase them out of their business. Polluters need to pay.
Now, a couple of things just before we let you go, Nicola. Last night, there was quite a flurry of stories about the National Party using AI-generated images in political advertising. Have you got anything to say about this or any thoughts on this? Is this going to be widely practiced in the lead-up to the election from the National Party?
Look, I think if you look around the world, the use of AI for images is an increasing trend. It's a technology that people are applying in many ways. What's really important to National is that where AI is deployed in any way, that it is done so ethically and responsibly.
And do you feel that the images that have been released over the last week have been ethical and responsible?
They do not in any way mislead anyone. If they did, I would feel concerned, but they do not. A lot of the ads that you see organisations use fake actors. I don't see that the use of AI to generate images is in itself irresponsible. If we were misleading viewers by giving the impression that someone had said something they hadn't, that something had happened that hadn't, then I would be really concerned. So we do have to approach this ethically, but I haven't seen any evidence that the images that our social media teams have generated have misled anyone.
Now, experts all around the world are talking about this particular problem when it comes to election campaigns and the use of AI images and the line between, as you say, illustrating something and also misleading the public. How are you going to ensure that this is not going to be a problem for the National Party this year leading into the election?
Well, as I've said, we're going to set down very clear guidelines that our ads need to represent reality. They are not to manipulate or mislead. And actually, that's a standard that we will hold ourselves to across all advertising, whether it includes AI or not. And I would really encourage other political parties to step up to that plate as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Nicola. It's been great to speak with you. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
That was What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.